Hello there, and welcome to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit. Thank you so much for being here, and congratulations for saying yes to the possibility of having the relationship of your dreams. I'm your host, Michelle Marchant-Johnson with Love Life Coaching, and I'm known by many as your guide to the right guy because I want you to be with a guy who is right for you and who makes your heart sing. After a long and winding journey to love, I found my own Mr. Right and became an ecstatic first-time bride, marrying the man of my dreams at age 43. I'm now blessed and honored to help many single women throughout the world meet and attract their Mr. Right and find the love they have always dreamed of. Now, this virtual gathering is designed to give you renewed hope, inspiration, tools, and resources to help support you on your journey to love as we begin 2015. And I'm thrilled to tell you I've gathered some of the world's top relationship experts to give you some of their best wisdom, advice, and guidance. I'm so excited to interview our guest today, and I invite you to give yourself the gift of being fully present and freeing yourself from all distractions. I know you'll enjoy the interview, and you may even want to take a few notes. It's my privilege to introduce to you our wonderful guest, Bobby Palmer. Welcome, Bobby.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here.
Thank you. We're so happy to have you here. So just a little bit about Bobby before we get started. Bobby Palmer is the dating and relationship coach for women over 40 and the founder of Date Like a Grown-Up, a company she built around her own personal story and passion for creating an after 40 romance revolution for women around the world. Like the women she supports in their 40s, 50s, and beyond, Bobby was a smart, successful, and reluctantly single woman at age 45. Determined to succeed in the man thing, Bobby developed and lived the very six-step Find Hope and Find Him system she now teaches in her highly successful coaching programs. Now joyfully married after becoming a first-time bride at age 47, Bobby walks her talk every day as she expertly supports other women out of midlife dating dread to the joyful discovery of the intimacy, passion, and partnership a grown-up relationship brings. Bobby has been a guest on the Today Show, has been interviewed on countless radio programs, and is a go-to dating and relationship expert for the Huffington Post, Your Tango, Digital Romance TV, Match.com, Yahoo Shine, Women's World, AARP, and eHarmony.com. She also hosts the highly popular Grown Up Girls Night Out monthly live webcast where thousands of women come together from all over the world to learn and, of course, talk about dating, sex, and love after 40. So, Bobby, I love your story, and I know that we have a lot in common, and I'm really excited to interview you. And I know that the theme for your interview today is going to be something that will be so valuable to so many of our listeners. And Bobby's going to be sharing the three keys to dating in a way that leads you to your grown-up love story. So, Bobby, I'd love, before we get started with the main questions here, I'd love to hear just a little bit more of your own personal story, if you don't mind.
Sure, and it is. We do have a lot in common. You said a lot of it in my intro. Thank you for that. I was a first-time bride at 47. And, you know, I spent 20-some-odd years working mostly in corporate America, and I was a professional trainer and professional management consultant. And so when I got married and people were asking, I tell my story, you know, about getting married so late in life, and people would ask me, how did you do it? You know, and so first of all, they'd say to me, and you probably heard this too, Michelle, wow, that gives me hope. You give me hope.
Yep.
Right? When you tell your story, which is such a gift to be able to give it, to be able to give. And then they'd ask, how'd you do it? And I started helping people. Well, naturally, as someone who is an expert in adult learning and education, I just started teaching how I changed my life, and really how I changed myself, and how I learned so much to make myself different, that I attracted this wonderful man in my life. And so we have been married about 8 years, and it just adds such a dimension to your life, right, Michelle?
Yeah.
This idea of having this wonderful partner, especially after being single for a long time. I don't know about you, but it's not that different. My life isn't, I still see my friends and do the things I want to do and have my same interests. But having this partner by your side to help you through, like we talked about earlier, to help you through challenges and to, you know, celebrate when there's things to celebrate and just kind of hang out with. And
yeah.
It's something I want every woman to experience. And that's why I do this work. I want every woman to experience, and I love how you say this, the right guy. It's right. Being single is great, and stay that way till you find the right guy for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely concur with that. And I always say that having someone amazing in your life doubles your joys and divides your sorrows.
I love that. That's so true.
Yes. So, Bobby, you're the founder of Date Like a Grown-Up, and I wonder if you can share with us a little bit more about what that means, dating like a grown-up.
Yeah, so dating like a grown-up has three principles. The first is balancing head and heart. So it's approaching dating and relationships with a instead of just approaching it from an emotional perspective, which we tend to do, even though we're so pragmatic and prepared and resourceful and responsible in all other parts of our lives, often we approach this, what I call, you know, the man thing, with pure emotion. So number one is approaching this with a balance of head and heart. And then number two is showing kindness to yourself and to the men you meet. Showing kindness to yourself and to men. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit when I talk about the three keys.
Yeah.
And then number three is taking responsibility for your actions and your outcomes. So
that's
this is what
one,
I learned. Yeah, it really is. And this is like one of my epiphanies that, you know, after 30 years of dating, I finally realized it can't be them. It can't be every man that I met in those 30 years. It had to be about me. And that was the good news, because that meant I had control over changing it and making it better. So dating like a grown-up is about taking responsibility and making this part of your life work for you, just like you have in the rest of your life.
Right. Yeah, I love how you said that is good news. That was good news, because that means that it's not just about circumstances all beyond your control, and that you have no ability to affect what's going on in your own life.
Yeah, we tend to, the women that I work with in my private coaching, my telecourses and so forth, they're really smart, they're capable, they're loving, they have friends, they have a great life. But for some reason, we hang on to this old stuff when it comes to men. We still sort of have this girl and boy kind of thing in so many ways. And so dating like a grown-up is just learning to approach it, to make the shifts you need to make so you can approach it like you do the rest of your life, like a grown-up.
Mm.
And it is the good news, because if it was the guys, if all men sucked, we'd have no choices. We'd be stuck.
Right.
But we're so far from stuck, there's so many things we can do that are pretty simple to make big changes.
Yes, I reached that point in my life too, so I know exactly what you're talking about, where I recognize that the common theme in all of my relationships that hadn't worked out was me.
Right, right.
And
which
so
is,
I think
you know,
a lot
at
of
first
us,
it's scary, right? At first
yes.
it's like, what? You don't want to take that responsibility.
Right. Right. It is a little scary at first. And then you kind of realize, wow, now I've got to figure out what I do with this and how I find my way forward. And for me,
yeah.
that was a journey and required some very deep self-examination and some support. And I think a lot of us that do this work have found our way to this work in part because of our own journey and experience.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And that's what I love about, like, the work you do, too. It's there's so many... It's hard. Like you said, it's a journey. And there can be parts that are really scary. There can be parts that are, you know, kind of self-reflection can be really challenging. And
yes.
I needed help, too. And that's what I want women to hear. The idea of doing it alone, if you've been trying and you've wanted this in your life, but it hasn't happened, don't try to do it alone, because you're just doing the same thing over and over and expecting just different results, right?
Right.
And we've all needed help. Like Michelle, you too. I've needed help to get me to where I was. They didn't have coaches when I was doing this work. So I worked with therapists and other people, but I learned a lot. I learned a lot, and it helped me in all parts of my life, right?
Right.
Was it like that for you? Like, what you learned wasn't just about making this romance part great, but just my relationships and my work and how I saw myself and how I saw myself in the world. It just changed.
Yeah,
everything.
Not only did it work that way for me, but I'm sure you find this as well with the clients that I work with. Mm-hmm. When we begin to up-level a certain area of their lives, in this case their love life, it has a positive impact on all other aspects of their lives. And the clients that I have worked with find themselves in just a happier, healthier place in their life overall.
Mm-hmm.
And so it can be really powerful. I think one of the challenges for both the women that you work with and I work with, and probably for both of us, is that we and they have been successful in other aspects of their lives, in their careers, and they can't seem to figure out why all of these other aspects of their lives, or our lives in our case, are going so well, and yet we seem
That's right.
to be stuck in this area. And it feels
yeah.
like almost like a weakness or there should be some shame around it sometimes in acknowledging that we need help. However, I always tell women that there's a big distinction between approaching this from a place of intention, and which is what you and I help women to do, and approaching it from a place of desperation. There's a big distinction there. And when I got to the point where I recognized that, you know, I really wanted to have love in my life, and I really wanted to have the experience of having a marriage and a partner and someone to share my life with, I was determined to do two things. First, one you already mentioned, is to not settle. Because I thought, I haven't waited all of this time and gone through all of this to settle now.
Yeah.
And the second thing was that I thought, I'm leaving no stone unturned. I'm going to do whatever it takes to figure out what's slowing me down or standing in the way and is blocking me from being able to move forward in this area of my life. And as I did this work, I began to discover some ways that I hadn't even realized that I had been self-sabotaging. I discovered there was a bit of ambivalence inside of me, even though I thought and was saying I really wanted a relationship. There was still this part of me that felt afraid that I would lose some of my freedom, my independence, and my ability to run my life and live my life in the way that I wanted to. And so a lot of things that I didn't even realize were there began to come to the surface for me. Now, again, it comes back to what you said. This is good news, because it's only as we understand what's really going on that we can do something about it.
Right. And it's completely in our control. And what I want... I love that you're kind of talking about the shame around this, especially when you get older. You know, I mean, I like you. You know, I work with women. I've got a client right now who's 68 years old, and she's been married twice, mm-hmm. and she's been single for a long time. And yeah, there's, you know, especially when you're older and you think, what is wrong with me? Why can't I figure this out? And what I think is, we just have to understand there's just things we need to learn, just like any other parts of our lives. We needed to learn about how to have great relationships with our friends. We needed to learn about our careers. We needed to, you know, learn about our hobbies. All things in our lives we had to learn about, and nobody taught us about this.
Yeah.
And the people that the training that we did get was so messed up. You know, Cosmo magazine, you know, was
right.
our training. You know, how to
right.
give a good blowjob was our training. Do anything to make
oh,
the guy
dear.
Happy was our training. And sorry that I is that okay I said that? But you know, that's what we grew up with is how do you twist like a pretzel to get a guy.
Right.
And so don't feel like something's wrong with you. There's just some things you don't know yet. That's all it is.
Right. It's an opportunity for growth and discovery, and it can be an amazing experience, really. And so
yep.
you just mentioned one of the biggest challenges that women dating a little later in life have, and that's that they may think they should have already figured it out by now. They haven't had perhaps ideal role models or education around this. Or support around this, it's just supposed to magically work and happen for everyone
right.
in their minds. And what other challenges do you think are really common for women, single women over 40 or those who are dating later, a little later in life?
Well, a lot of it is the fact that they've had so many years of what I call like layers and layers of stuff just glommed on. So
yeah.
all these years that we have had influences, information, teaching from our parents and the media and the magazines and our exes and all these experiences that just create these kind of layers of truths, and I'm using air quotes, truths,
mm-hmm.
and beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
that stand in our way. And for those of us like you and I that worked for a long time, right, to figure this out, it's hard
yeah.
to get you, and you kind of described it as hard to get through those layers. So that's what you described is very much what I think is one of the two major challenges for women over 40 is getting, sort of digging in and really being able to do that discovery and start shedding those layers. Of
yeah.
Those things that you were taught, those things that you believed when you were 20, which are not true at 50, all these things that you think about yourself and you think about men.
Yeah.
When you get down beneath those, like you were talking about, you know, really looking at yourself and what you're doing to self-sabotage, what beliefs you have that are no longer true. Then you can open up, but that's hard. You know, that's a challenge for those of us who are older. And then the second thing is, which is a really big thing for women over 40 is, especially those of us that have been single a long time, is that we're very independent and we're very competent and we're resourceful and we take care of ourselves. And a lot of us have taken care of families. And so what happens is, we have a real challenge with actually embracing and expressing our feminine side.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's kind of cliche, like a lot of us talk about femininity, but you know, I just talked to a woman this morning who's 42 and I asked her, you know, just what do you love about your work? You know, what, or she runs a business. What do you love about your business? And she said, I just love that it makes me money. I said, okay, money's good. What is it you get from the money? She said, well, you know, I get to buy things and I just love that I'm making money and I've got money in the bank. And blah. And I said, okay, is there anything else you love? It took me like 10 minutes to get out of her that she also loves it. Oh, by the way, because it helps her, it allows her to help her parents who she absolutely adores and who need help, and she's taken them on trips. And she loves that she employs people because she helps people feed their families and make a living. That's her feminine side. That's her feminine side of, like, loving that she's helping people. But it took her literally, like, 15 minutes for her to just to get to that. So that's a piece for women who are older and really independent. Men want smart, independent, competent women, for sure. But that kindness and that nurturing and that those other qualities, like that this woman, Christy, had, that took her so long to uncover, that's buried, because that stuff doesn't work for us in business.
Right.
That's the stuff we've buried for so many years to get along in this man's world to make a living.
Right.
So it's so I, you know, really help women. It's there. It's not like they're changing. I just help them uncover that and discover that side of them. And that was a challenge for me. I was very stuck in my, you know, making a living was what I did for 30 years.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I understand.
Business.
I did too.
So, yeah, so those are, as you know from experience, those are, like, I think the two real major challenges for women over 40.
Yeah, and when you were speaking about the layers, those layers can be from so many different things. Sometimes there's disappointment or heartbreak or a divorce or a terrible breakup or just, you know, negative beliefs that kind of pile up. And those layers can be, those layers can be so thick that it can be really challenging to be able to even, you know, peel back the layers enough to, I say, even be able to recognize a good man if he walked right through your door.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And actually, what that's one of the keys that I'm going to talk about is that idea that I wouldn't have known good man if I saw him. I didn't know what a good man was. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, a lot of women have not experienced a relationship where she's being nurtured and she's being taken care of and she feels special. Like you and I have that in our lives now, and a lot of women have never experienced that. And so they think the only option is being single or being in a crappy relationship because it's all they know.
Right.
And I love that we can help them see that there's a third option. Like, stay single till you find that third option. And we're going to show you how to do that.
Yes, I love that you're saying that because I believe it so strongly. And I love that we're walking, talking examples of what we're speaking about today, because I think it's going to bring a lot of women a lot of hope.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
You have these three keys to dating in a way that leads you to your grown-up love story. And I'd love for you to begin by telling us key number one.
Absolutely. So key number one is know that you're dating grown-up men. And we've kind of alluded to this. So if you want to, and when I talk about a grown-up love story, I'm talking about what I just kind of described, that relationship where you are getting fed, you are getting filled up. I always tell women, dating is all about you. You always have to start with what makes you happy. And one thing that, one key to being able to find this guy is knowing and remembering that these men that you're dating now, and there's 40s, 50s, 60s, and so on, like you, they've had life experience, good and bad. They have developed from that experience, they've developed a more openness, a lot of them. They've developed communication skills. So we have this sort of preconceived idea that men don't talk. Remember, you're dating grown-up men. So yes, most of these men do have much better communication skills. Grown-up men are not chasers. They're different than the younger guys. You know, the younger guys, men that chase are men, are that comes from ego. Men that chase do it because they want to catch you. Right? And what I keep telling women who are dating later in life, grown-up men, they have had their successes. They know how to get what they want in life. And like you, they don't want to waste their time on something that's not going to happen. And they're not led by that. Some of them are, but the majority of these men that you're going to meet now, they're not led by ego. So they're not going to chase you. And also know that these men are confused by quote, feminism. So these men in their 40s, 50s, 60s, you know, who've lived through, like we have, the last, you know, the last 50 years of what are men roles, what are women roles, they're confused by that. So be, and the perfect example of that, ladies, is sometimes when a man opens a door for a woman, I've heard men tell me that women have been like, I won't even say the word, but women have cussed at them.
Yeah.
Women have been so offended that they opened the door for them. So they've gone through years now of trying to figure out what we want and what we need and, like, what's, you know, what their role is in our lives now. And know that about them and have some empathy for that and understanding for that and some patience for that.
Mm. Yeah.
Because you're missing a lot. Go ahead.
I just think that's really beautifully said, and I think that there's such a need for that understanding and compassion.
Yeah, and they're going through the same things you are. You know, they're having crappy dates. They're having people, you know, crazy women. There's so many stories that they have. But if you want to meet a grown-up man, if you want to meet a man who shows up, steps up, and is grown-up, then you need to treat him accordingly and being able to recognize him. And so these guys, they're looking for a woman who can receive, who they can do things for, who they can enhance, be a part of their life and enhance their life. So know that that's what they need, and they're looking for a lover. They're not looking for a colleague. They're looking for a lover, and they're looking for a woman who, yes, they can take care of, which is not a put-down. There's no greater gift you can give a man to let him take care of you when he knows you can take care of yourself, but you're still trusting him to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying, like, support you for the rest of your life or make all your decisions, but really add to your life and be a real partner.
Yeah.
So that's what these guys want, and you have to know that and stop thinking all men want is sex, or it's all about their egos, or, you know, they don't make commitment. Statistically, men appreciate marriage more than men. They're more than women. They're happier. They marry faster. Anyway, grown-up men are really good guys, and they're not the jerks that you dated in your 20s.
Yeah. Oh, that was really beautifully said. So tell us about key number two.
So key number two is what we talked about earlier, is take responsibility for your dating success. So, you know, when you talk about finding the right guy, a lot of us approach dating with sort of the idea that when you meet a guy, he has to prove himself to you.
Mm-hmm.
That you kind of go in expecting him to sort of, you know, prove himself to you. And so many men that I've talked to and so many men that I've interviewed feel that, like, they have to perform, and that you've got this kind of checklist, and if he doesn't, you know, match your checklist, then he's out. So what I want to tell women, if you want to date in a way that helps you really have a meaningful time with the man sitting in front of you, you have to take responsibility for your part of it. And your part of it is the communication, because we're just better at it. Women are better at conversation. We do it way more than men. And so take responsibility for making it a conversation that's meaningful and that helps you get to know each other really well. And I have a really good tip for that.
Okay.
I want to give real quickly, if that's okay.
Sure.
My tip for that is to use the word because. So, and to have nuggets. So first let me tell you what a nugget is. A nugget is a small piece of information about yourself. It could be something about what you value, what you've accomplished, what you look forward to, what you did when you were a kid, what you like to do on Sundays. It's just a piece of information about you that helps a man get to know you. Something that's important to you that the right man will appreciate. Maybe it's that you do volunteer work. Maybe it's that you like to travel to foreign countries and immerse yourself in their culture. have nuggets about yourself, and they're not stories, they're just short pieces of information. My husband says women talk in stories, men listen in headlines. So have those headlines. It's true, right? So have those headlines.
So true.
And just, you don't have to memorize them, but have those ready to share about yourself. Take that responsibility. So when you're meeting men for dates or on the street or what, in the grocery store, that you can bring up these nuggets, give them little pieces of information about you. And here's the great thing about your nuggets. The great thing is not only are you expressing who you are and important things about yourself. So if you say, every year I go to feed the homeless during Christmas time, when you share that, you're sharing something important to you that you want that the right man's going to appreciate, and his response is going to help you get to know him so well. So if his response is, oh, that's nice, so what did you do last weekend, and just ignores it, that tells you a lot about him. But if his response is, wow, I think that's so amazing, I would love to do that, or I volunteer also, here's what I care about, then you've got somebody who's a potential good match and you have a meaningful conversation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so explain again how the word because fits into this. Mm.
So the word because helps you create your nuggets. So for instance, this woman that I was talking about earlier about what she liked about her job, that was in response to, we always ask just for an example. This is, you know, you want a nugget or two about your work because your work's important to you. So people always say, what do you do for a living? And so for her, she flips houses. So if you say, I have a business and I flip houses, that's one way to do it. But what if you said, I have a business and I flip houses and I love it because what I earn helps me really give back to my parents and make their lives better and helps me employ people so they get to feed their families and support their families.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see where that could be really powerful.
Yeah, it's taking the fact and turning it and giving them the feeling. So it's taking the fact, I do this for a living, blah, 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 which only leads to conversation that's more masculine because you talk about your business. And it's turning it into the feminine part, which is I love it because I help people. I make a lot of money. I love that. And I love it because the money helps me help people. And that's something you want him to know about you. So that's a nugget.
Oh, I love this concept of nuggets.
Yeah. And I love it because, or I do this because, or I go to Hawaii every year because. Just going to Hawaii every year isn't a nugget. Why you do it and what you love about it, maybe that's a nugget.
Mm-hmm.
So the because helps you really express about you, not just give a fact about your life.
Yeah, it takes, like you said, it takes it from the fact to the feeling.
Yeah.
And that also helps you in speaking with a man to tap into your feminine energy a little more effectively because you're not just stating facts, you are tapping into that feeling for yourself as well as relaying that to him.
Exactly.
And yeah, that's a really juicy tip.
Yeah, I love this. I have to say it's so freaking powerful. I have thousands of women doing this around the world, and it's so simple, but it's so powerful. And what the man, like with Kristen this morning, you know, the man can either respond, oh, you flip houses? Wow, that's cool that you make a lot of money doing that. Or he's going to respond, wow, I think that's really nice that you help your parents that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tell me about that. Or, wow, it's great that you, you know, love that you're helping people, you know, feed their families. So you learn a lot about the response. And that is a grown-up conversation that you can have when you go on dates. And you can be the leader of that.
Yeah.
And men love it, by the way, the right men. The wrong men, they're not going to call you again because they don't care that you volunteer or they don't care that you love, you know, sitting in the sun for hours at a time. You may turn a guy off with your nuggets, but that's exactly the point. You turn the wrong guys off, and you attract the right guys.
Yeah. Perfect. I love that. I think that's a really juicy tip. So thank you so much for sharing that with our audience. So tell us now about key number three.
So key number three, if you want to date in a way that leads you to grown-up love, is make grown-up decisions. make grown-up decisions. So remember that you're looking for a great mate, not just a great date. And there's a lot more when you're looking for a partner. There's a lot of things that you, there's an approach to that that's different than you're looking for someone who's a good date. And so what happens is, when you're dating and you're looking for the right guy, you really want to remember that just because a guy makes you laugh or you have a witty repartee with him, that gives you no clue about whether he's a great mate. It really doesn't. What I say is chemistry is for teenagers and grown-up love is for adults. So the chemistry thing is what so many women are looking for, and men. And when I hear that, I just cringe because chemistry, or what I call like your thing, like women, we all have a thing. Like with, what was your thing, Michelle? Like the thing that when you met a guy who had it, you were like, oh my God, he could be the one.
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, there were certain men that I met that just seemed to have, I think, a charisma and a charmingness and were good looking. And I tended to find these guys that were eternal bachelors. You know, they're the men that I knew that I really was like super attracted to like that are still single. And I've been married 8 years too, like you have. So still single.
Yep. They're good dates. That's exactly
good dates.
I love that. It's exactly the point. A lot of men are good dates. It's because they do it a lot and they're well practiced.
Right.
So a man who's a good mate may not light you up on the first date, may not make you crack up, may not, you know, sort of engage in that witty repartee. For so many women I work with, their thing is intelligence, right? They like, when they talk to a man and he seems brilliant or creative, it's like, again, I'm not saying you want a guy who's not intelligent, but that does not a good marriage or lifetime romance make. So key number three is make grown-up decisions. Dump the desire to be dazzled and start looking and making decisions based on what you need and what your must-haves are to be happy for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You want to focus on what's going to make you happy. And this is, I have a six-step system, and my step two in that system is getting past your list.
Mm-hmm.
And I help women really recreate their list based on how they need to feel with a man. What's going to make you happy for the rest of your life? And
right.
Witty repartee isn't it, and a good-looking guy isn't it, and charisma isn't it, which you know because you realize that. Making grown-up decisions is about really making good choices about who you're going to see and who you're going to not see again and who you're going to give your time to and get to know.
Yeah, in fact, sometimes I really appreciate that you're bringing this forward too, Bobby, because I agree full-heartedly, and I sometimes think that it's so easy for us all as women to, like you said, we have this thing, whatever our thing is, whether it's intelligence, whether it's their charisma, whether it's their a certain look, or whether it's just, you know, something about a certain type of guy that we have a tendency to be attracted to, and yet they're not always the men that are really ultimately going to be the best partners or husbands. So, you know, for any of us that have gone to dances as, you know, high school, college, or later in life, sometimes I thought, if I have to go to one more singles dance, I think I'm going to scream. And sometimes you see both men or women that are shy or not very engaged and stand against the wall and might be called a wallflower. I always tell women, you know, look past the real flashy guys or the guys that immediately have something about them that immediately catches your attention, and notice what we might consider the wallflowers. Because my own husband, you know, I think he's adorable and handsome and amazing, but is he the absolute best-looking guy I ever went out with? Is he the most charismatic I ever went out with? Perhaps not, but he's the best husband and the best partner
yep.
for me ever. And he might have been considered by some to be a wallflower because he's not flashy. He's very intelligent and has so much going for him, but he's not flashy. And some women might not have noticed him.
Right. Right, which is, so what?
Yeah, which is which and, is really good for me.
Which is good, yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny, like women, when I talk about this, women always say, are you telling me I need to, like, go for an ugly guy? Like, go for someone I'm not attracted to? And the answer is, of course not, of course not, of course not. But it's amazing how if you can shift your mindset and shift your approach and stop looking for that thing. I mean, if they have that thing, it doesn't necessarily mean he's not your guy, but we get blinded by it. We get
right.
taken in by it. So what I'm saying is if you can do that balance your head and heart thing and remember that you're looking for a mate, not a date, just a great date, and if he has that thing, look past it, and if he doesn't have that thing, look past it, and use the tips that I gave you to really get to know someone and dig in a little bit to see who he is, then you will start meeting nice guys. You'll start meeting nice guys, not the jerky guys that you've been, or the non-committal guys that you've been attracted to. And when you meet nice guys, and the first you start experiencing what it feels like to have somebody really interested in you and think you're special and pay attention and care about you and in a real way, not just in an "ooh, I want to get you" way, you'd be amazed how attractive that can be. Absolutely. Maybe he's not as tall as you want him to be, or you're not laughing, you know, every time he talks. But maybe he shares your passions and he shares your values and he shares, you know, friendships. And, you know, so there's so many things that are much more important. And he is a good communicator and knows how to fight fair and is good at managing challenges and meeting challenges in his life. That's the grown-up stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
and
the guy that stands by you.
Yeah, that's the guy that stands by you. And I think that it's so common once a woman gets to know some of the heart and character qualities of a man that she might not see at first glance. You know, he might not have that flashy thing that catches her attention at first glance. But once she gets to know the heart and character qualities, it's amazing how much that chemistry and attraction can even grow.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I would say the vast majority of the women that I've supported and have done my six-step system, the men that they're with, either living with or married to, they probably 85% of them, I'm giving a number, but like close to 90% of them will tell you that the man they're with is somebody they never imagined they'd be with. And
mm-hmm.
that's the whole point. That's the key to their success. The man they imagined they'd be with all those years was the wrong guy. And now they're finally really happy, and it's the proof. They're like, you're right, I never would have picked this guy in a million years, and like, I love him. I've never been in love like this in my life. And these are 50, 60-year-old women.
Yeah.
So it's taking that responsibility to make that shift and make some different decisions and understand men a little better.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate you sharing us those three keys, and I think there was so much wisdom there, ladies, so I hope you were taking a few notes. And Bobby has also very generously offered a very lovely free gift for the participants for the summit, and this is a video series called The 4 Devastating Mistakes Women Over 40 Make in Their Search for Love. I'm going to have Bobby tell us a little bit about it in just a second, but I want to let you know where you can go to access this free gift, and that is to www.readyfortherightguy.com/Bobby, B-O-B-B-I. So one more time, readyfortherightguy.com/Bobby. So, Bobby, you want to tell us just a little bit about the video series?
Yeah, so this is, I actually created this based on, you know, years of coaching. And after working with hundreds of women and, you know, you start seeing patterns, and also from my own personal experience. And these are four things that I see women do over and over and over that clearly create a roadblock to finding love. And they're the things that if we can just learn a little new information. So in the videos, I give some new information. I give you some really tangible ways that you can shift your perception just a little bit and open up so many new opportunities and start really feeling the joy of being a single woman looking for a man and the hope and the competence, right? And I give you very specific skills so that you can go out and start meeting some really, really good grown-up relationship-minded men.
Lovely. That sounds wonderful. So one more time, that's readyfortherightguy.com/Bobby for this video series. And before we wrap up today, Bobby, I want to give you an opportunity to just share a little parting piece of wisdom or encouragement or whatever you'd like to share.
I would love to. So this is a little bit about the nuggets and so forth. Again, it's your responsibility to help men get to know you. And part of that is being 100% authentic and real when you meet men. So I want to give a very quick an exercise. It'll take you, 10, 15 minutes. And I want you to do this exercise that's going to help you really look at yourself and do some self-reflection and understand if you're being just kind of who you are when you're dating. Like, who are you bringing to dates? So the exercise goes like this. I want you to think about being at a place that you where you feel really comfortable with people that you feel safe with and that you feel like you're your best with. So think of yourself in a really lovely place with people who bring out the best in you and who you feel comfortable with. And imagine yourself, step outside and watch yourself with these people. Watch yourself in this experience. Observe yourself. What are you doing? What are you saying? What are your body movements? How are you being in this situation? And write that down. And then imagine yourself on a date. Imagine yourself on a first date with a man that you have some interest in. And step back and watch yourself. What are you saying? What are you doing? What are your body movements? Who are you being? What are you being with this man? Do this exercise, look at yourself with your friends and look at yourself on a date and really, really make a decision. Am I being myself? Am I bringing my real self when I meet men? Because for a lot of you, you are exactly the woman the man you want wants. You're not bringing her to the party.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you attract the right guy.
Yeah, I invite you all to experiment with this exercise that Bobby has just shared. I was experiencing it myself a little bit, a little mini version of it as you were going through it, and I think it could be incredibly powerful. So thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm really thankful that you invited me and gave me the opportunity to, you know, share ideas and reach more women. There's a lot of women out there that are on their way to just really lovely, loving relationships.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I love the hope and the optimism that has been a part of this conversation, and really want to thank you, Bobby, for a wonderful interview and for being so generous with your wisdom. And I again want to invite each of you to get Bobby's video series at readyfortherightguy.com/Bobby. And we also want to thank each of you for being here with us today and for making this a part of your busy schedules, working this into your busy schedules, and want to encourage you to consider implementing the ideas that resonate with you from the summit interviews. During the telesummit, you'll have access to the best wisdom from over 25 love and relationship experts, and you're able to listen to the replays of each interview for 48 hours. And we hope that you'll listen to as many interviews as possible. However, knowing that life is busy and you may not be able to catch all of the interviews, I also want to invite you to upgrade to the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit VIP package, which includes the MP3 recordings of all of the interviews, interview highlight sheets, and some really yummy summit bonuses. And you can check that out at readyfortherightguy.com/ready. This way you'll be able to listen to the interviews at your own convenience multiple times and have the resources to support you moving forward. It's like having a team of experts in your pocketbook. During the summit, this VIP package is available for $97, which is $100 off the post-summit pricing. And again, that's available at readyfortherightguy.com/ready. So thank you so much for being here with us today, and I want to thank our special guest, Bobby, once again, and look forward to having you with us for more of the Ready for the Right Guy Global Telesummit. And Bobby and I both are sending you lots of love, many blessings, and wishing you happiness as you get ready for your right guy. Bye-bye for now.